Well, we are so honored to have Dr. David Snyder as our guest speaker. Dr. Snyder is the president of Baptist International Missions Incorporated. He and his wife travel all across the country, really all over the world, encouraging missionaries and helping churches take a greater part in accomplishing the Great Commission. BIMI serves over 700 missionary families, and they come alongside local churches like ours as we send out our own missionaries and help provide logistical and spiritual support to these missionaries while they're on the field. Their contribution to helping these missionaries is invaluable. And we're so thankful for the work that Dr. and Mrs. Snyder and all of the team at BIMI is doing to help and support these missionaries. He got us off to a great start last night by beginning 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I've been waiting all day to get back into that chapter, and I'm so excited to hear the message that God has laid on his heart. So here in just a moment, Dr. David Snyder will come with the message.
If you are glad that he is your rock and redeemer, would you say amen?
Amen.
Appreciate that special. Got us off to a good start here just prior to the message. Let's take our Bibles, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. While you are turning there, let me give you an unashamed advertisement, if I could, okay? Now, I don't know, every church has different names for different parts of their church building. I don't know what you all call the section right through these doors before you get to the other doors. I'm calling it the pass-through section, or the ones on the other side of that door. But somewhere in there, there's two tables, and the one on this side has a bunch of good stuff, all right, that I want you to see and I want you to get. We have a pile of our prayer cards, so if you wouldn't mind to pick up a prayer card, if you can pray for Barb and I and our ministry, we would appreciate that. There's some BIMI World magazines there. Pick up one of those, or you can do the QR code, read it online. But if you are here tonight and you are 16 years of age, up to, I'm going to say 28, raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come up here. You don't have to. Put your hand up. I just want to see. I'm doing a scan, all right? Got some over here, got some over here. Okay, you can put your hands down. You're my target. Okay, and I hope I'm going to hit it. We'll see. Not real hard or anything, okay? I want to tell you about Camp Bimmy, and the reason I have singled out that age group is because Camp Bimmy, if you are at least 16 years of age or older, and you have an interest in missions, maybe God's calling you, you don't know, you're open to God's call, you know God's called you, but you're not sure where. What's it like to be a missionary? How can I serve in my local church better in the area of missions? I want you to know about Camp Bimmy. The reason that I have used that age group, the median age for Camp Bimmy is about 24-ish, 25-ish. Because sometimes when I say Camp Bimmy, people think about shooting BB guns and riding ponies. Okay, it's not that kind of camp. There are college-level classes that are taught during the day, and there are several Christian colleges that give a college credit for Camp Bimmy. That's the level, just to give you an idea. You will experience a lot of international things throughout the week. You will eat food you have probably never eaten before, and probably shouldn't scare some of you off, but there are some really strange things that if you want to eat them, you can. We had a goat that was... Where's Brother... We had a goat, two goats. That means four eyeballs. We asked for volunteers. Can you believe there were four students that jumped right up, swallowed those things, and I said, more power to you. So you don't have to eat eyeballs when you come. Now, I do want you to know, just because, you know, the goat thing, I thought, hey, I'm at Camp Bimmy. I did try some goat brains. I don't recommend them. Just stay away from them. They're not good. Now, deep fried might have been better because everything's good deep fried. I don't know. But in all seriousness, this is a week of intense learning about missions. What is missions all about? And perhaps you'd say, you know, Brother Snyder, I'm not sure that would be for me, but I know somebody who might benefit from this. If you would, pick this up, pick one of these up, take it with you, and seriously consider and pray about the possibility of coming to Camp Bimmy or giving it to someone who might would want to come. If you've got more questions, we will be here tonight after service and the rest of the conference. We would love to talk to you about Camp Bimmy. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Let's back up and do a quick review. Before we do that, let's just stop. I want to ask for the Lord's help with the message this evening. Lord, I thank you so much for the good day that we've had. Thank you for the good weather. Lord, I pray that you would help now and bless as I bring this message, Lord, I again want to bring this in the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, help me to be a spirit-filled speaker. Lord, I pray that each one here tonight who knows you as their personal Savior, that they would be a spirit-filled listener. Lord, please do a work in each one of our hearts and lives. Be glorified now through everything that's said and done. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Verse number one, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, we do to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." He says, "I want to make known to you a grace that you've not yet experienced." So this is beyond just saving grace or sustaining grace. This is a special grace, a very specific grace. And we find out in the context, it is the grace of giving. And why do they need God's grace? Well, verse 2, "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality." So they were in a great trial of affliction, and they were also in deep poverty. But they didn't use those things as excuses. They said, hey, these are not obstacles. These are opportunities for God to work. And God did indeed work. And notice the word joy there. They had joy as they, even in the midst of these trials, but especially as they gave, which for many of us, as we mentioned last night, is an acquired taste. And I was glad to learn tonight that Brother Josh is acquiring a taste for cucumbers. That's a good thing. Okay, so keep working at it, brother. It'll come, and the rest of us will keep working at giving so that we can experience joy in giving. And all of this abounded under the riches of their liberality. God blessed them mainly with eternal blessings because of their obedient giving. For verse 3, "To their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." They first gave to their power, that sacrificially, because they're in deep poverty. But I believe as they gave to their power, they said, you know what, we're enjoying this. And God, would you allow us to give even beyond what we can give? And God allowed that. God bestowed his grace upon them, allowing them to give beyond their power, that is, supernaturally. But the key to all of this, the end of verse number 3, they were willing of themselves. And you'll remember, we had a lesson last night about how to and how not to give flowers to your wife. And that should come over to how to and how not to give an offering to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we ended with a word, and I ask you to meditate on that word as it applied to the message last night. Anybody remember what that word is? Shout it out.
Attitude.
You've made my night. You got it. They had the right attitude. And that attitude comes through now as we pick up from there from last night. Verse number 4, "Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." He said they were praying us with much entreaty that we would receive this gift. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul as he goes to them? He knows that they're in deep poverty. He knows they're in a great trial of affliction. And they have collected this money, and now they go to give this offering to the Apostle Paul. You know, I think just as a knee-jerk reaction, probably Paul says, I can't accept that. How could I take that? But can you hear them with much entreaty saying, no, Paul, take this offering. We want to tell you what God has done. God's bestowed a grace upon us we've never experienced before. And God's enabled us to give not only to our power, but beyond our power. And I know that blessed his heart. Now, another thing that verse 4 shows us, praying us with much entreaty that we receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. This gets a little practical, but it's important. This tells us what the offering was about and what it was for. The fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Several things. Number one, this was an offering for others. It was not an offering that was going to stay there within their local churches, the churches of Macedonia. And we learn from Romans 15, if you want to study this out later, it was particularly an offering for the church at Jerusalem to help them, to strengthen them, to establish them, to meet the needs that they were having at that time. But also, it was an offering that was given to a missionary, the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived. And it is very evident, even on the faith promise cards that you have, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 15 and 16 is on here. When your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you by that offering that he's writing to the church at Corinth about. And he says there in verse 16, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. Now, that's what this offering is for. That's what this offering is for. And it's important to understand, because I don't know if you're like me, but if I'm going to give to something, I want to know how it's going to be used. And it's very biblical. It's very practical. This is an offering for others. It's not an offering that stays here within this local church. You say, well, wait a minute, don't we have to pay the electric bill? Yeah, but that's not what this offering is all about. So it's an offering for others. It's an offering that has to do with church planting, to help, to establish, to strengthen, to meet the needs of churches that are being planted all around the world. It is an offering that goes to missionaries who have been called to plant those churches. Why? So that the gospel can be preached in the regions beyond. Now, you say, Brother Snyder, why make such a big deal about that? Well, this is the reason why, and sometimes there's a confusion with this, and I want to clear that up if that confusion is here tonight. This offering is not God's tithe. Okay? God's tithe is God's tithe. It belongs to God. We give God his tithe first. Then over and above God's tithe, we pray about and understand what it is that God would have us to give to missions. And this is important. And I know that sometimes I've heard people say, now, Brother Snyder, I got you. You're talking about grace giving. And you're talking about tithing. And tithing, that's of the law. Hold on just a second. Just a few quick thoughts here. I know you're well taught on this, but let's just hit a few things. First of all, I believe tithing started long before the law ever came into existence. Okay? I personally will take you all the way back to the garden. I believe the principle is there. God said, this tree I've set aside, this is for me. It is my tree. But then as you travel throughout the Old Testament, we come to Abraham. Remember, Abraham paid a tithe to Melchizedek, interesting fellow, but a type of Christ. Now, how did Abraham know to pay a tithe? I believe it was just taught verbally down through the generations, and he learned that's what God expected. Can I say that was before the time of the law? And then we come to Jacob. And remember Jacob, you might remember the story of what we call Jacob's ladder. Well, when he met with God, he told God, I will give you a tenth or a tithe of all that comes to me. How did he know to do that? Well, his grandpa taught him that. It was passed down through. And can I say that was prior to the law? But then, the law. And I believe the law just put in black and white what God expected from the very beginning. And by the way, the law is very clear. It says the tithe is the Lord's. It's his. But you know, as you travel throughout Scripture and you come even into the New Testament, you have Jesus Christ, and he is, you know how he was. He sugarcoated things as he talked to the Pharisees. He says, you bunch of whitewashed sepulchers, you bunch of serpents. He says, you tithe on mint and anise and cumin, but you omit the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. He says, these ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. So even Jesus in the New Testament puts his stamp of approval on the tithe, and the tithe is the Lord's. So again, a practical thing, please don't say, well, I give X number of dollars, it's God's tithe, I'll put it on here as my offering for missions. That's not the way it works. Can I illustrate this for you? Pastor, would you mind if I borrowed your Bible just for a moment? Okay. Now, I this is my first time to meet Pastor. We've talked and communicated prior to this conference, and I'm really getting to like Pastor a lot. And I'm to the point where I consider him a friend. I'm not sure if it's reciprocal yet, but I'm trying to be real nice so that it happens, okay? And so this is my attempt at doing that. So, Pastor, am I safe to assume that you have a birthday? Yes. I love safe assumptions. It's a good thing. Okay, so what month is your birthday?
July.
July. Okay, so it's not been that long ago. So I've got a lot of time to plan. Let's just say I decide, you know what, come July next year, I'm going to buy Pastor a birthday gift. And you know, as a preacher, you know what would be a really good gift to give to Pastor? I mean, this is nice, some nice soft leather, and maybe I could borrow some outlines if I go through here enough, and I might even find his name in the front so it's personalized. Wouldn't it be great come July? I would come to Pastor and say, Pastor, thought long and hard, here's my gift to you. Happy birthday. Now, he was very kind right there. But if I did that, you realize he would say, Brother Snyder, you have lost it. You are crazy. Why? Because the Bible already belonged to him. So how can I give something that already belongs to him and say, this is for you and it's my gift to you? The same with God's tithe. It is God's tithe. So we can't give God his tithe and say, God, now this is my offering to you. We give God his tithe first. Then we find out what he wants us to give over and above his tithe to missions. And again, can we just be a little bit practical about this? You know, you think about how this works. If we only gave it if we saw it first, then hey, that would be sight promise giving, not faith promise giving. We just trust God to give his tithe and then our offering. Can I again just talk about the practicalness of this? It's a faith thing where we trust God. And you say, I've never tithed before. Can I just encourage you to start now? Make that one of the things that God does in your heart and life. Can I give you the testimony that really all of my Christian life, since I was saved at 8, I was taught that I wouldn't know what to do if I didn't start with God's tithe. But you can't outgive God no matter how much you try. So that gives us some practical aspects. Now, some might would say, now, Brother Snyder, hold on a second. If we are going to put this much emphasis on giving to others, you remember the light bill? We got, you know, and I don't know about you all, but I love air conditioning, especially while I'm in Texas in the summertime. I mean, you know, that's what God's tithe is for, to meet the needs of the local church. But as we talk about that, hey, what about this emphasis that we're putting on others? How does all that work? Because if we put such an emphasis on others, if we put such an emphasis on missions, how will our needs be met here? Well, take your Bibles and turn with me to Philippians chapter number 4. I'll answer that question from Scripture. Philippians chapter 4, and as you're turning to Philippians 4, I want to remind you, this is one of the churches in Macedonia. They're in a great trial of affliction. They're in deep poverty. Paul writes to them in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 14. I want to read down through verse number 19. Philippians chapter 4, verse 14, he says, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. What's Paul saying? He's saying, church at Philippi, you have made others a priority. You have made missions a priority. You have sent once and again unto my necessity, even though they had their own needs. And then verse 19, Paul says this, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Can I remind us tonight? He will never run out of riches in glory. God will meet the needs of a missions-minded, missions-hearted church. If you want a healthy church, keep it on a missionary diet. Can I just share this example with you? I told you that we were missionaries in Alaska, and we were in Talkeetna, Alaska. Some of you might have been through there at some point in time, but it's a little place in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, when I first got there, and we're starting the church, and, boy, I'm thinking this is a small community, and I'm thinking about missions, and then I realized that the people that are there, they don't, cash flow is not a major thing for them, okay? They live off the land. They make some money when the tourists come through, but that's about it. And I'm thinking, wow, how are we going to support missionaries using faith promise giving in this little place? And, you know, when they live off the land, you shoot a moose, you have meat for a whole family for a whole year. I mean, it's a big animal, okay? You catch the salmon, you can can salmon, you can eat salmon all year round. You, because of the daylight and darkness in the summertime, there's so much daylight, like the cabbage that they grow, they have a cabbage weigh off every year at the Alaska State Fair. Every year, the winner is always over 100 pounds. That's a lot of coleslaw, people. Okay, now I'm telling you, it's amazing. So they learned how to live off the land. I'm thinking, Lord, how's this gonna work? And then I realized, you know what? This is not a principle for Texas or for just for America. This is a biblical principle. And so in that first year of starting the church, we talked about faith promise, and I presented it to the church. It was just amazing to watch what God did in that little place called Talkeetna. We as a church, and again, you're just talking about a small group of people. Through faith promise giving, we were consistently able to support six missionary families. And we did that at $150 every month for every family. That's something only God can do. But can I tell you, God met the needs of our church. We had needs. We didn't even have a building. But God gave us a building, debt-free. We built one building, and then we had a little building out back. Some of you, if you don't know what an outhouse is, talk with me afterwards, okay? And then later, we built on a second part to that building, debt-free. God gave us the land. It was an amazing thing to see. God keeps his word. But he expects you and I, in obedient faith, to step out and do what he's asking us to do. Now, verse number 5, we need to keep moving. If there is a key verse to these 12 verses that we're looking at in these several evenings that we're together, this is the key verse. Verse 5, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. This they did, not as we hoped. I'm glad the verse doesn't end there. He says, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. This is where it started. Because, watch, if God doesn't have you, if he doesn't have me, he doesn't want one of these. He wants us first. And we're to give ourselves to him first. And how does that look as far as we think through here? Well, when I read that, gave their own selves, Lord, the first thing I think about is giving their bodies to the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is, Paul says, your reasonable service. Hey, as you make this commitment to the Lord, your body better be involved. Okay? There's a lot of things we could say here. You think about this, you might have to give up eating out at maybe that favorite place that you like to go. You might have to give up a Starbucks or two, which they're not cheap, okay? I don't know, but your body may enjoy those things, but you may have to say, you know what, I made a commitment to the Lord. I've got to sacrifice those things. You know, you might get that second job that you weren't planning on getting, and boy, your body's going to have to put out some extra energy, but that extra job may be to take care of the commitment that God laid on your heart to give to missions. I don't know, but are you willing to make that sacrifice if God calls you to do that or some fun activity? I don't know, but we need to give him our bodies, a living sacrifice. But beyond our bodies as well, I believe we need to give him our minds. Look at down to verse number 12 there. For if there be first a willing mind, a willing mind. Now, we read Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And are you not trying to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for you concerning missions? We have to give him our mind. And again, can I get just a little bit practical here? Number one, let's have the right mindset about what we're doing here. This is the eternal souls of men and women and boys and girls around the world who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us be missions minded, if you will. But here's another practical one. Think it through. Think this through. Can I use a little bit more biblical phrase? Count the cost. Because if you put an emotional number down on this card, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Because emotions come and go. But you want to know this is what God has laid on your heart. and you think it through and you understand this is indeed what God wants from me. And you know what? It might take, when we talk about counting the cost, you going home, sharpening that pencil, getting out the family budget and say, hey, where can we cut back to do what God's asking me to do? So there is a practical aspect of that, giving him our bodies, giving him our minds, but beyond that, giving him our hearts. They're in the same context. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse number 7. Every man according as he purposeth, where? In his heart. So let him give. We need to give him our hearts. That's what God really wants. He wants our hearts. And the churches at Macedonia set a great example for us. They first gave their own selves to the Lord, but also watch this. He says, and unto us by the will of God. When he says us, there's a lot to take in there. That would be the leadership there within the local church. It'd be the Apostle Paul who would be the missionary pastor. But again, he's talking to multiple churches. So collectively, there's a voluntary offering that's being taken up here. And as each one individually within the church gives themselves to the Lord, and as churches corporately give themselves to the Lord, and then multiple churches, it's amazing to watch what God will do. You know, there's certain things that I do enjoy about what God's called me to do, and one of those things is to see missions from a bird's eye view in a lot of ways. And I know there are a lot of great mission agencies out there, and I praise the Lord, we're not in competition, we're working with them, but just let me give you the numbers of that I know for us at BIMI. There are some 7,000 independent Baptist churches that give through BIMI to the missionaries. It's an amazing thing to think that as you all are one of those 7,000, you realize there's 6,999 other churches that as the individual people within those local churches give themselves to the Lord, and as you as a local church corporately then also give yourselves to the Lord, and you join with those other 6,999, it's amazing to see what God will do if we will give him ourselves first. And to the local church, and to the leadership here, and to the missions program that's been set up here, to watch God put all of that together is an amazing thing. So tonight, I would ask you this question, and I want you to think about this question while I read you this really short story. Have you given yourself first to the Lord? Let me read this story while you think about that question. One Christmas in West Africa, a missionary asked the African girls to bring an offering for Jesus. Each brought some little thing, a flower or some toy she had been given by passing traders. But one girl with deep-set eyes and a face transfigured handed the missionary a little bundle. When he had opened it, he discovered the equivalent of 85 cents. For a poor girl in West Africa at that time, it was a small fortune. The missionary called the girl over. "My child," he asked, "how could you do this?" "Jesus gave himself for me," she replied, "and I thought I would give myself for him. I sold myself for the rest of my life to a planter or a farmer. I gave him the right to use me in his field at the hardest toil, and he gave me 85 cents and let me have this one day so I could bring the money to you." The missionary was overwhelmed. 60 years of drudgery, of unrequited toil in the burning fields of Africa with no freedom. The girl might never love anyone for herself or have anything of her own. Her whole life was mortgaged to a planter so that she might have 85 cents to give to Jesus Christ. You say, "Brother Snyder, are you asking me to give up my last 85 cents for Jesus Christ?" No, but if he asks you to give up something, are you willing to give it up? If he asks for your heart, which he is, are you willing to give yourself first to the Lord and completely to the Lord? Last night, I ended with a word and I asked you to meditate on that word, the word attitude. Tonight, I'm going to end with another word to add to that word, and I want you to meditate on this word until we come together again tomorrow night, and that is this: availability. Availability. Have you made yourself 100% available to the Lord of the harvest to give, to do, to go, whatever it is that he asks of you. Would you stand with me, heads bowed and eyes closed, and just a short time of invitation tonight. As you think about that word availability, the churches in Macedonia, again, set the great example for you and I. They gave themselves first to the Lord. This will be a good time as we, second night of the missions conference, as you still continue to pray, as we look towards Sunday when these cards will be collected. Ask God, God, what is it you would have me to do? Maybe even right now, take this time and pray and say, God, I'm anew and afresh giving myself to you again, making myself available to be used in whatever way. As the instrumentalist begins to play a hymn of invitation, our invitation has begun. If God's spoken to you in a special way, whatever that would be, we invite you to come. This altar is open. I believe God is honored when we move for him. Take that step. Talk with the Lord. Can I add this tonight? I've been praying that God would call someone from this congregation into full-time missionary service. I know we've been emphasizing the financial side of that. You know, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He has no trouble with the financial side of this at all. What God's really asking of us is, are we willing to give ourselves to him? The need, God doesn't ask us to pray for money. God says, pray for laborers. I'm praying for laborers. Maybe tonight there's somebody in this auditorium that when the Bible says they gave themselves first to the Lord, you need to give yourself to him for full-time missionary service. Well, if that's the case, step out for him. Make that known to this local church, to your local church. Come talk to the pastor and say, Pastor, I think God's speaking to my heart. You may not know all the details. You may not know for sure. But boy, wouldn't it be great to have a whole church praying for you as you decide what God would have you do? Oh, dear friend, make yourself available to him. As she continues to play, you continue to pray. Pastor will come in just a moment. He'll close the invitation as God directs him.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Swift and beautiful.
What the preacher talked about tonight is really the heart of the matter. If my life is surrendered and available to God, then all that I have and all that I own will belong to him. That's where it starts. As a 13-year-old boy, I made my life available to God for his calling upon my life. But I've had to make my life available to God many, 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 many more times since then. And a mission conference is a great time to examine our lives and to see if we are still on the altar and still surrendered to God. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, let's make it personal tonight. You're not answering this question for me. In fact, I'm not even going to look. This is a holy moment between you and the Lord. How many of you would say, as far as I know, my life is completely available to God? Everything surrendered to him. He gave everything for me, and I have nothing too precious for him. My life is fully available to the Lord on this very evening. And if that's you, as a testimony, would you just lift your hand tonight? You may lower your hand. This really isn't about me or anyone else tonight. It's about you. If you couldn't raise your hand, what do you need to do over the next few moments so you could? God gave a lot more than 85 cents for us. He gave His only begotten Son for us. He gave it all. And He deserves all we have to give. And if there's something in your life that is keeping you from a place of availability and surrender to the Lord, you ought to give it to Him. Brother Corey is going to lead us in another verse. If you're here tonight and you're not fully surrendered to the Lord, right there where you are or at this altar, come and get right with God and surrender your life as a living sacrifice to Him. If your life isn't a place of surrender, you ask the Lord, what do you want me to do for the next 12 months for the sake of the Great Commission? Brother Corey is going to lead us in another verse. One more chance to respond to God.
Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer thine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy
And all God's people said, Amen. It has been a marvelous evening, hasn't it? Thank you, missionaries, for your presentations. Thank you for all of those who provided music tonight. Thank you, Dr. Snyder, for another biblical message that really got to the heart of the issue when it comes to our involvement in the Great Commission. I'd like to go ahead and dismiss our missionaries and sponsors to the foyer. We want you to be out there. Don't forget, we're going to participate in some water filters, and we're going to participate in a car and some other major needs, some power at a camp, and I hope you and your family will have some part. And as I challenge you before the conference, you moms and dads, you give a little bit to your kids so they can participate in meeting these major needs this week. And they are going to enjoy Sunday night and Christmas for missionaries so much more when they know that they had a part in giving to meet those needs. And so I want to encourage you moms and dads to be intentional about that today and tomorrow. Well, we look forward to seeing you back tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Another great missionary presentation, another message from God's Word from Dr. David Snyder. Thank you for being here tonight. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow evening.